Still waiting for more details on our friend Prince.
Conflicting reports. I mean, TMZ was the first to report that there was an unscheduled emergency landing Quad Cities Moline Airport, and that he was rushed to the hospital. But then two different witnesses apparently told TMZ, one said not doing well, the other said released.
We're getting word also up here, and we're just getting the information now that he may have the flu, but that's all that we're hearing.
After an emergency landing?
Well, yeah, so we'll keep you posted.
He's a very sensitive man. Yeah. I think I have the
flu. Frail. He's frail.
I think we're going to land. Now, actually, that's how he sings. He talks like this. He talks a creepy guy a little bit. Actually, when you hear him,
he doesn't
right?
sound creepy though. I love Prince.
I know, but
creepy
he's
guy you can't stand.
I know,
can't stand creepy guy.
But he weighs 67 pounds, so any right. small virus or anything could be a problem.
Yeah, there are viruses that are actually heavier than he is.
Wow.
No.
Oh, no, don't
no.
do it.
I thought Ryan, tempt him.
I thought we had, when Rich is here, no creepy. Here we go.
You know, Prince is part of the Trilateral Commission. I read that on the internet.
All right, well, we hope that Prince is just fine.
Get some chills there.
And we hope that creepy
off.
Guy is not just yes. fine. We hope that he dies an ugly
creepy
death.
Guy made an, has creepy guy made an endorsement yet, or is he still waiting on that? Because there's a lot of candidates for him this year.
A lot of opportunities. I mean,
he feels like a cruise man to me. But, you know, it's probably too early, right?
Oh, they're all a bunch of liars. Bunch of liars. And the only guy who tells the truth is Alex Jones on the Petrie Radio Network.
God. Oh, no. Problem is, I kind of knew a creepy guy just like that who would leave voicemails for me when I was at NBC, and he did have
I'm sorry about
very
that.
Similar
we
theories.
Were young.
And then he tried to show up, and suddenly it got even creepier, and now that's all I think about is...
And that man.
That yeah. man.
That man is now your co-host on WGN Radio. All right, here we go. Are you ready for something very important? Mm-hmm. I'm sure we all are, and here we go. This is it. This is the moment we've all waited for.
The Top 5 at 5 on the Rocon Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rocon Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
All right. The Trumpster increased his fame and notoriety by riding on the backs of the Apprentice cast. That's what some people would say. Looking to win a position in the Trump organization. All those young sycophants would get into the room on that TV show.
Well, I think a lot of them benefited from it, too. I don't know that just Donald Trump rode on their backs, but all right.
A number of them had a press conference today in New York, led by... Season 4 winner, Randall Pinkett.
I don't remember that one, and I watched that show.
I know. Kevin Allen, Tara Dowdle, Marshawn Evans Daniels, James Sun, and Kwame Jackson.
Jackson, I remember him because he was in the first one with Bill Rancic, right, and it was down to the two of them.
Yeah.
And he was like a Harvard MBA guy or something. I don't know. He was really impressive.
And they didn't. They are not supporting Donald Trump.
Trump has created a toxic ecosystem. In our political discourse, Trump's proposals are rooted in fantasy, hyperbole, and bombast, making Mexico pay for its own wall, getting China to do all our bidding based on threats, renegotiating all treaties with Iran, all because he said so? Really? And he's simply a smarter negotiator who went to Wharton?
No, well, now the problem with, I saw this morning, and Trump, of course, fired back within seconds. Saying that they're a bunch of pathetic wannabes and losers.
Of course.
Yeah. And nobody would know who they are if not for me.
Right.
So they still don't. We still don't know who they
right. are. That's true.
We still
oh, yeah. Pinkett Industries. I know. Randall Pinkett. Pinkett Industries.
I thought Randall Pinkett was actually a quarterback of Minnesota, but I don't know.
It didn't work out well.
What do I know? Anyway, the point is that here you got a guy all these guys got up there, and it was like, I don't care what you think about this. Omarosa is a surrogate. Remember her?
Yeah.
We do remember her.
Season one, she was also nuts. She's a surrogate for him. I don't care about her.
Yeah. She's on his payroll because she loves him. So that's, but you know, people do forget the first, I guess it was 4 seasons of The Apprentice were, you know, actual people trying to get jobs in business. And then the genius, and I don't, who is it Mark Burnett Rowe that does
that? Yeah,
it wasn't Trump's idea, but the genius there was to, you know, they did a celebrity try. They thought, oh, this would be a fun, like, holdover. And then it got much bigger ratings, and then it just turned into a gimmick show. I mean, but even the first year, Bill Rancic, you know, he was offered two jobs when he was named the first apprentice. One was designing a golf course in Vegas, helping to help them
no,
put together.
No, actually in California, because it was falling into the ocean. There was a problem with it.
And the other was selling condos in the Trump Tower here in Chicago. He had an office at the old Sun-Times building for about a week and a half, and then they realized, oh, this isn't. And he's just such a smart guy. He's like, this isn't a real job. I'll just be Bill Rancic.
Well, it's like The Bachelor, right? It's like they're not getting married. That was never
what?
The point. It's a TV show.
What?
And they do get married. And Trista is still married.
That's the one out of the 30.
The one.
And that's like 10, 15 years.
That's the only one. I think there's two out of the 40 that have stayed together.
Let's just be honest here. This is like if a bunch of the cast of The Bachelorette or Bachelor got up and wanted to decry some political thing, you're like, who gives a crap what you think?
It is a little odd.
It would be as if the people from The Bachelor said, it's not really romance. It's all manufactured. We don't get to keep the helicopters and the hot tubs and the islands.
although I bet they wish they could keep some of the hot tubs.
Oh, my goodness.
Because no one else wants to get in them. All right, checking in.
Number four.
Ron Majors has earned a reputation for his mastery in handling live breaking news. His impeccable judgment has led to a leadership role in every newsroom in which he has worked. He has the respect of his colleagues and sometimes even the fear, which I've seen.
You've seen that
firsthand, and that's fun. Critics and viewers alike have also respected him. He recorded on Facebook this message to thank his viewers as he is now retiring after 51 years on television news.
The news business has changed a lot over recent years, and I get concerned that people somehow confuse what I call the cable talkers or the cable shouters with news. All news starts with reporters, with eyes and ears on the street, mostly newspaper reporters. But television reporters, radio reporters, the information comes from those people who are out there gathering it.
It's interesting to hear him reflect like he did. He's concerned about the future of journalism with tighter budgets and leaner staffs. He's such a legend in this town. He's one of my news heroes.
I had the very, very, very great pleasure of being able to work with him for almost 20 years. I think we were together 17 years. On the radio, he was a regular daily contributor to the radio program. Then we became friends, and he became a mentor, then a friend, and then a business partner. And I cannot imagine anybody more qualified to be in the position that he is. We've met a lot in our lives of people who are on television doing news. I don't think anybody takes it quite as seriously and is as dedicated to the truth as he is.
Well, just having him as a presence in a newsroom, I think would just have such an impact on everyone who wants to play in that newsroom, that you would rise to a certain standard because he's there.
Because he's leading it. And he'll enforce it, interestingly, with both, carrot and stick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's good at that. But as an anchor, he's very generous. And you know what that means. It's like have somebody that you're sitting next to, and they're going to catch you if something goes wrong, or, have that moment where the show becomes the most important thing that you're going to get out there.
I think you can make the argument that he's the best local anchor in the history of television news. And I say local anchor, I don't mean just in this market. I mean in any market. I mean, people even way outside of Chicago know who Ron is. And no one will ever have a run as long as he's had. I mean, because of what he talked about, the business changing. But the generosity, too. And he hates when you talk about this stuff. But, Ro knows this, too. Mm-hmm. I've done charity poker events. My sister runs a mental health services organization in the southwest suburbs. And, like, on a Saturday, he spent 10 hours down there playing poker and just talking to folks because he was like, wait a minute, what kind of work does she do? I'm there.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
And the last time I had lunch with him, we were talking about a young reporter who we're all friends with, and he took out a little pen and paper. Give me your number. I got to talk to her. I'm going to give her some, I'm going to give her some advice. Tell her to send me her reel. I'll give her some advice. You don't get a lot of that generosity.
No, and then follows through and really does it because he cares.
Totally. That said, he, other than his closest friends and, of course, his wife and his lovely family, his daughters and his grandchildren, I've said this and Ron knows this, he prefers horses to people.
Yes.
He does like horses better than people. Yes, he'll be the first to tell you
that. I don't blame him for that.
because
The twinkle in his eye when he starts talking about his horses, and he'll say, "Let me show you some pictures."
Yeah.
Are you in that camp, bro? Is that what you're saying?
I'm as of this week, I'm heading to that camp. Yes, I'm going to start just dealing with horses.
I don't know if you guys have been the best influence on each other in the areas of human consciousness and growth development as spiritual beings, but it's a wonderful.
No,
ride.
I've dragged him back. I've pulled him off his pedestal just a little bit. You know what though? What is one other thing I want to say about that too is he is a totally different person when he is out dealing in that world, whether he's at the track or at a farm or doing all that stuff. I mean, you know, you wouldn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very sophisticated guy with, you know, he always wears great
suits and everything. Yeah.
And then I have spent weeks upon weeks with him on the road. Where he is, dragging 1 foot behind. He looks like Carl Reiner from the first scene of Ocean's 11. You know, sitting at a dog track.
Nice little pie hat.
Who's got that poor guy?
Jeans Ron. I call him Jeans Ron. Right. Ron and Jeans. He's just the happiest guy in the world at the track or a little poker or just, you know. Yeah.
Pork pie hat and a Hawaiian shirt. And you're like, what? Who
wants another ice cream? Who needs another ice cream?
I loved a story about hanging out as a young anchorman in San Francisco, 23 years old, hanging out with Walter Cronkite. And it really seemed like he hung out with him. He has stories
to
tell.
He's also friends with Barry Tompkins. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but
he does sports on the West Coast, I think, right?
Please get him to write a book. Can you convince him to do that? We need to hear those stories.
I don't
stories.
Know. Oh, my God.
Well, we've heard
them. Richard and I have heard them all.
They belong in a book?
Yeah, the great thing, the first, seventh, and ninth chapters would all be the same, but it's great because even when he tells you, you just go, let him tell. And you know what? And I've become that guy now, too.
Me, I'm too.
Have I told you about. Yes, you have.
I do. It's the same thing.
The guy with five stories.
Yes. You know, Jimmy, but he's got 500 of them, but you're around him long enough. There are going to be some repeats. All right.
Jimmy the Greek was at an airport. He had a certain memory.
He's the best. I love Ron Majors as a brother, not just as a friend, as a guy that. You know, I would go do anything for him, and I think he would do anything for me. And that's the kind of person. That's why Chicago's been blessed. Have a guy like that leading a newscast. That's why he was number one at Channel 5. Why he was number one at Channel 7. He was number one in Minneapolis when he was there. He was number one in San Francisco when he was there because people believe in him, and they should.
And they should.
And that's the only guy I'll ever say that about in the television news business. All right, top 5-5 continues right here. We'd only gotten this far. I thought
on number three, and you've got
number three.
There you go. Fox Sports. Jason Whitlock was not among those impressed by Kobe Bryant's Hollywood ending when the Lakers dropped 60 points in his final game.
How about that?
And his commentary did not sit well with NBA fans, who pointed out that Bryant's winning 5 championships in 20 years isn't really destroying a franchise.
Sports are a team endeavor, particularly as it relates to basketball and football and whatnot. He's not a golfer. He's not a tennis player. He destroyed a franchise. His narcissism and selfishness destroyed a franchise. The Lakers are a laughingstock and just had the most embarrassing season we've pretty much ever seen an NBA team have. And Jack Nicholson and everybody's sitting at courtside celebrating this, standing ovation. And then we're heaping on more fraudulence to the night. Magic Johnson calling him the greatest Laker. No, he's not.
Yeah, I kind of was. Actually.
Magic Johnson to call him that might be the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but 5 championships, right? I mean, they were winners in the last few years when Kobe was aging. He didn't destroy the franchise. They made bad trades, bad drafts, bad decisions.
Right.
He's not a likable guy. I don't think.
But didn't people like to watch him play?
But he was a great player.
I'm sure he brought in millions of dollars for that team.
Absolutely.
Just by his.
I feel like he's kind of the last tie to Jordan, like a player who just plays with nastiness, but which is a good thing on the court, you know, ruthlessness.
Yeah, and even if people didn't like him, not a whole lot of people liked Michael Jordan because he was always beating them.
That's very true.
And he was very competitive, just like Kobe is. Mm-hmm.
Checking in at
number 2.
Ted Cruz dropped by the Tonight Show.
Oh, gosh.
Sat down with Jimmy Fallon in a sketch called Donald Trump's Phone Call with Ted Cruz.
This was actually super cute.
I know you're about to be a guest on the Tonight Show. I've been on that show many times. So I thought I'd help you out and do a little pre-interview.
Well, that's a very generous offer, Donald. I appreciate you being the bigger man.
Oh, I'm the bigger man. With the bigger hands. And the bigger... You can't see me, but I'm pointing at my Trump Tower.
I'm really glad not to be on FaceTime right now.
Ted Cruz really warms up on these late night shows. He's a different guy.
Well, that might change his outcome a little bit here, too.
Fallon's amazing.
He's amazing.
Fallon's,
writer.
By the way, doing the best Trump right now. Trump's is a lot harder to do than it appears. You'd think it would be easy, but he's catching it pretty close.
Fallon's got his own show, so it's working out fine. But, you know, he was actually wasted on the on Saturday Night Live because they had him anchor. And he was such a young kid, and he was always breaking up during skits. But he didn't really create a lot of memorable characters. And you see what he does now.
It's perfect.
It's unbelievable, whether he's doing Neil Young or The Boss or that Trump imitation. And he's got a million of them.
All right. And finally, and this is, I would say that's important.
Number one.
You like the idea of the self-driving car? I really do not.
I'm not ready for it.
No. People are concerned about giving up that control. Now, take, for instance, this elderly lady who was greeted by her son to drive her to her new home in Spring Valley Senior Living. I think I'm moving in there. Apparently, he decided to pull a bit of a prank on her by having her get in the driver's seat of a self-driving Tesla automobile. Oh, boy.
Oh, there's cars coming. Oh, there's cars. Bill, just put me back for me controlling it. Oh, dear Jesus. I could never. Oh, where's it going? Damn, Bill. Oh, my God. Oh, this is so scary. Oh, Jesus, this is my first day out, and I'm about to die.
Oh, come on, relax.
Oh, is the car coming?
Okay, hit the brakes,
She sounds hot.
Ah, jeez.
Oh, no.
That's all time. Kevin and Violetta are going to treat me. That's going to be me.
No, that is so mean.
You guys are going to take me for a ride in a self-driving car, and I'm going to do the exact same deal. All right, it's time now to wrap this thing up.
The top five at five.